been satisfied that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. If you would all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
The flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, may I have a roll call, please?
Weaver? Here. Boyle?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Neal?
Here.
Okay. First thing, ladies and gentlemen, is we do have an executive session we need to have early in the meeting tonight. So we can have someone for Resolution 642010. Purpose of the executive session is pending or anticipated litigation and contract negotiation and personnel. So we have a motion for Resolution 642010.
I'll move Resolution 642010.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mr. Boyle, would you take care of the door? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Gentlemen, I thank you for your patience for the executive session. There were a couple things that we needed to do early on tonight, but we're all done with that now. Next thing we have is, there's no correspondence for tonight, so that would be the audience portion. So we will open that up for any remarks, petitions, or statements, testimony from guests that is not otherwise on the agenda.
Mary, you want to introduce, I'm going to call the chief.
Chief, if you'd like to start off, we have Chief Jim McDonald from the Washington Township Police Department here.
Thank you. Mind if I turn my back to you?
Not at all.
Thank you. I know there's been a few concerns raised at previous meetings in reference to coverage in the borough, the ability of residents to access the police department, so I wanted to address those tonight. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. On the issue of not seeing police cars, I'm getting about a 75-25 split in that. I've had other people come and say, how many people do you have on? I see police cars all over the place. I have other people say they're not seeing police cars. One thing I think is happening is that in the past you were used to seeing black and whites come through town and then also the white police cars come through town. Well, now you don't have the white police cars anymore. Second, if you don't see a police car come by your house during the day, that means you're living in a neighborhood that you're not having a lot of problems in, because one of the things we have to do these days, the days of random patrol are pretty much gone because they got random results. We have to focus the manpower that we have on areas where we have problems. So just randomly patrolling neighborhoods, although I will tell you that officers do that throughout the course of both shifts, the 24-hour shifts, and I can show you that in their mileage, but you're not going to see a patrol car come through your area four, five, six times during the day, unless you have issues in your neighborhood, and then you'll see them that much or more. Our response time to calls, we still have an average response time to calls of under 7 minutes, which is pretty good. That's to emergency and non-emergency. Sometimes it's quicker, sometimes it's not. What you have to understand is if the officers are on a call, say an accident on Route 31 or 31 and 57, and you call with a complaint, and I'm not saying about an emergency, but a complaint, that will be put on the back burner until they clear the emergency call. So the response times, if they keep the response times under 8 minutes, I'm really happy with it. So if there's any questions, I can, direct questions I can answer, I'd be more happy to do that. Yes, ma'am.
Would we know if there's something going on in our neighborhoods? Is there any way that, let's say there's a rash of burglaries, et cetera, is there any way that we could, I mean, not that I'm fully alarmed and all that kind of stuff, but we should know, shouldn't we?
Okay,
there's a
couple ways that we can, well, if there was something like that going on, it would be in a newspaper, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not going to keep anything like that from the public, that's a public safety issue. The other thing you could do is check our website. We post things like that on the website, we post statistics on the website. We also have a Facebook page. Just be careful what you put on there, please. And we also do Twitter. Now, I'm not really familiar with Twitter, but those of you who one of the things we are going to be doing, it almost sounds bad, but it's not. One of the things we will be doing very shortly is that if we had, let's say we had a road closing or something like that, anyone that signed into that Twitter account would automatically get that alert. And we're going to use that for all kinds of things. Amber alerts, to alert you in a case of, you know, a rash of burglaries or something like that. So absolutely. There are ways to stay informed. My recommendation would be to check the website and the Facebook page first, though. And again, if it was something real serious, read the Express Times. Okay, if you don't want to read the, sorry, Star Ledger. They all get it. They all get the press releases. Yes?
Can you tell me what the square mileage is now? Charlotte's 2 square miles, but okay. Now that you've got the township and Oxford and that, what's the square mileage and how many officers do you have on at a time?
We're looking right around 25 square miles, and there's 5 officers on a squad. So you have 1 supervisor, 4 officers. One is assigned full-time to Oxford, and the township and borough are split up into zones. There's an officer assigned to the borough, there's an officer assigned to south of 31 and north of 31. Now, that doesn't mean that if the guy is tied up in the borough and a call comes in the borough, you have to wait. One of the other cars will handle that call. But there's 5 officers on. We try to keep it at 5. If one guy calls in sick, do we bring someone in overtime? No, our minimum staffing is going to be 4. We're not going to replace a guy every time somebody takes off because it would cost all of you a minute.
What about your coverage for arrival and dismissal in schools?
I'm sorry?
When a borough had the coverage in the borough, there was always a car around.
As much as we can.
In Taylor.
As much as we can. And we've been up at Taylor Street School quite a bit because they've had some issues with the parking and the cones and things like that. That's something else that I have to work out. I've been working with the principal there on that. Yes?
What about the borough's no parking ordinance
that they have? The overnight parking? We still have the list that if you call in and have a legitimate reason, you can park the vehicle there. If you haven't called in, then it's enforced. And summonses are issued.
Well, I think that needs to be enforced a little bit more because I have to work on the street that every night. If they no park on the street, there's 6 cars parked there every single night.
And they never get any tickets? All right, where do you live?
Well, you can start with South Prospect Street.
Okay.
They're there every night, and I happen to notice 3 cars in the borough on street that are no park on the street. They haven't been shoveled out of loose since we've had the last snow, and there's no ticket problem.
Okay. Because we don't have a quota, we can rate as many as we want, so I'll let the guys know.
Chief, I had a question. Actually, yeah. There was a complaint at the last meeting that the people talked about Route 57, you know, Washington downtown. I believe there's 2-hour parking signs, and some of the residents complained that people were there all day, you know, store owners are there all day, and they don't get ticketed. So are you aware of that? Are you enforcing the 2-hour rule, so to speak?
We would have to get a complaint on that, because quite frankly, I give Mr. Phelan stats every month. If you look at the number of calls and investigations that we're doing, to have somebody go through town and, you know, mark tires or something like that would be almost impossible. If a business owner or resident were to call to make a complaint, we would certainly take the complaint. But to have someone assigned to do that would be impossible.
I actually did a follow-up on that. I went downtown and I talked to, there was 2 business owners since I called and complained on that. And they claim that now that there's been signs put up there, I always thought there was signs there, because I used to work in a health food store.
They were replaced.
Okay.
The damaged ones.
And they said that, yeah, it's changed, that people are not, you know...
Using it,
yeah, abusing the parking now. And that was last week.
What part of town was that?
Downtown.
Downtown, on Route 57, in the business district. I went to the people that had called and complained, and the signs were changed, and apparently now people are observing the parking limitations and not using them.
And the other thing I'd like to report, too, is that just because you don't see police officers doesn't mean they're not there. We have what's called a set team now. When we had two separate 13-man apartments, we could not dedicate any officer to any specific area. If you've looked recently in the newspaper, some of the drug arrests that have taken place over the course of the last couple of months, they're not just users, they're people that have been dealing drugs for quite a while in Washington Borough, Washington Township. We actually have two guys dedicated to that purpose. So you're going to see some major changes at Quick Check from this summer. Keep reading the paper, because right now there's probably six more active investigations going that I can't talk about, but in the coming months you'll see them in the paper, where these dealers who have been acting pretty much with impunity for the last how many years are going to be charged now, because we're able to focus those efforts. In the past, when you had two guys on in the township, two in the borough, going back and forth answering calls, you couldn't dedicate anyone, except with overtime, to specific areas. So they've been doing an excellent job with the drug trade in the area.
Is it meth or heroin or both or all?
Well, all drugs.
There's no.
The last arrest we had, and it was a pretty big one, was mostly marijuana, but all of those drugs you mentioned are part of it. Oxycodone or Oxycontin, all of that. So.
Do you have plans for replacing the DARE officers?
What we did is we finished one school, next school. They will be teaching DARE in the borough.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people talk about that.
Yeah, there was never any plan to not do that. Absolutely.
I mean, is there actually somebody stepped up and is going to do it? Or
Officer Smith will be teaching in the borough school. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good. I was looking at our revenues for as far as tickets coming in. Not that all the borough residents need to get tickets, but it has fallen down quite a bit in the last year, and that is revenue for our town. Are we looking for that to come down more, or are we going to keep it the same? Have you looked at any of those numbers?
Yes. In fact, the numbers that I provide to Rich Phelan every month will show that there's sometimes it's 2-to-1. 2-to-1 summons is written in the borough as opposed to the township. So there's actually, we're writing twice as many here as there.
Well, I understand.
But again, the other thing, too, what I want everyone to understand is that in the first 6 months that this has been in effect, my main concern was complaints that I used to hear before the shared services came about. And one of those problems was the drug dealing and people hanging out downtown that shouldn't be hanging out downtown. So the guys are really focusing their efforts on those things. So you can't do that and write a lot of tickets. So will it balance out? I hope so. It's like every time you start a block watch in a neighborhood, crime goes up. And people go, wow, why does this happen? We start a block watch and crime goes up? No. What it is more people are reporting things that used to go unnoticed or unreported. So when you see that drop in summons, you're seeing an increase in arrests. And eventually, when people realize this isn't a good place to deal drugs and all that other stuff, then you'll see the balance come back in.
I just looked at the last 5 years and dropped significantly.
Right.
And I understand that as far as the crime, unemployment is up.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's directly
not
related.
To get all the borough residents tickets.
Yeah. What's your name? So yeah, this is courtesy of. But yeah, that I think you're going to see that. You're going to see that start to balance out. Yes.
And I still think that people are used to when the kids are coming and going to and from school, seeing a car. I mean, all of you. They used to, start at Taylor Street and down to the junior high, come around, and just do the circle. And I mean, I got phone calls at the house and people saying, where the property is.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we were getting phone calls too, because something was done in the township for a long time. Every day, an officer stops, or almost every day, providing nothing else is going on. Every day, a police officer stops at the borough schools and walks through the school. At a random time, walks through the school. We were getting phone calls from parents wanting to know what's going on, what's wrong. And it's simply that we've been doing this for quite a few years. Officers are assigned as part of their shift to stop by every school during the course of their shift and just do a walkthrough. And that's simply just to say hi to the kids, just to let the faculty, the staff know that we're there. And for anyone watching the school, if they have any ill intent, to let them know that, hey, the cops show up here all the time. They're always a part of the school. So as far as the cars being there as school lets out, as much as we can. But remember, we're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 schools now. That's hard to do while you're still answering the calls. So as much as we can, we do.
Chief, I have two quick questions, if I may. One, we installed cameras around the parking lot and in the downtown area of the Wachovia building. Now, the police department, the former, you know, the borough police department used to have the keys to those boxes. Now, that's been transferred over to the township. So my question to you is, how often are those boxes checked? Because we want to make sure that if there is a crime, there's still something being reported. Because if the system goes down, if they're not being checked, we won't necessarily know that.
If I give you an answer to that, I'd be making it up. I'm not sure.
No, that's fine. I mean, I'd like to get an answer because that's important.
I will.
Because we did spend a fair amount of money on that on those cameras. The other question would be the borough park. How often do you patrol the borough park off-season, on-season versus what, from your knowledge, was done previously?
I would say the same, at least the same. And also, I can say that the Business Improvement District has helped us with cameras and all. They've changed some of the angles of the cameras. So we are using cameras throughout town. And we also have some businesses that have allowed us, on an as-needed basis, to even put cameras in businesses to monitor whatever we need to monitor. It's not Big Brother stuff. It's crime. But yeah, we are utilizing cameras. The particular cameras you're talking about, I'll get you that answer. And as far as the park goes, I'm sure it's patrolled as much now as it was before. But again, right now what we're doing is targeting areas that we're having problems in and focusing patrol there. So, thank you. Yes. Any other questions?
Thank you, Chief.
And one thing I would really like you to understand, if you ever have a question about the police department, call me. Call me, stop by, you know. The old saying that you pay my salary, it's true. You do pay my salary. So if you want to come and talk to me, knock on the door and I'll be there. So
not since December, right?
What's that?
But not since December, right?
Right, not since December. Well, that's an issue that will be cleared up by all. All right. Thank you very much for allowing me to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak during the audience portion? None, I would accept the motion to close the audience portion.
Yeah, I
okay.
Dave Hockenberry, Flower Avenue. I just want to say a few things about the sewer bill that I see that you're thinking about voting on, doing whatever you're going to do, up it, what have you. One of the questions I'd like to ask is, and you're probably going to say, you know, why are you coming to me now with this? Over all the years that I've been paying $45, because I'm disgusted. I did some research, some of the neighboring towns around Washington, and the sewer rates compared to what I pay are disgusting. And you're asking me for another $7 a month compared to what I'm paying now? I'll give you an example. I have a family of two in my household. Let's say you have a family of eight. Why should I be paying the same amount of rate for my sewer bill as your family of eight? I don't think that's fair to me. Especially to some of the residents that we have in this borough that are widowed or just never married, but yet they chose to live here. You know, my next door neighbor, I've been living next to him for 25 years. Single guy, all by himself. He's paying the same amount of money I am a month. The same amount of money as you are, and you've got eight in your family. How is that fair to us? And now you're asking us to pay more? I don't think that's right. I think you guys, you need to figure out another way to supplement it if you have to. I don't have all the answers, but I can tell you that what I found out in a family of three in a neighboring town of ours, their sewer bill per month is $12.39 a month for a family of three.
And what town is that, sir?
Lopat.
Okay.
Phillipsburg, a family of four, has a sewer bill of $16.66 a month, $200 a year.
Now, how do they charge for their sewer? Do they do it through water use?
I couldn't tell you offhand, and maybe I could because I know some of them, their water bills are $14.28 a month for a family of three in Lopatcom. You know, but I mean, if you want to go that route, I'll tell you right now, I pay $28 a month for my water bill every month. But yet my sewer usage that I'm paying for is higher than my intake.
Yeah, I was just asking out of curiosity.
Well, I'm just giving an example.
Sure.
My example. What I pay a month for water and what I pay a month for my sewage. Mm-hmm. You know. So I hope that, you know, before this tax increase, you know, somebody could sit down and look at something. You know, figure another way for some of us who don't have big families but choose to live in this borough. You know, why should we be penalized for it? You know, and that's the way I see it. I just see it as that I'm being penalized if I'm asked to pay another $7 a month, $52 a month, over $600 a year, and half the time there's, you know, during working hours there's nobody in the house. But yet I'm paying the same as somebody who's got four people that are home all day long. You know, that's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Crafter, 92 Carlton Avenue. I have a question.
I took this off of the website, and this is as of January 1st of 2009. We had $58,164.88 in our reserve. Absolutely. We had, as of January 1st, 2009, we had $58,164.88 in our reserve at the sewer. And from my understanding, this is from the borough,
yes,
your budget.
Yes, 2009?
Yeah, because your audit was as of 2008, December, and that was the number you had. So as of the 1st of January, you have the same amount, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. And what you were explaining to us before, you had 4 months to use that reserve, correct? To take that reserve out, you only had 4 months, November, December, January, February?
You mean for transfers?
Yes.
Is that what you're referring?
Didn't you say that last time at the other meeting? You could only take this out both
you can
four
only
months?
Transfer. Is,
right.
That's what you're referring to, transfers in November, after November 1st, November and December.
Okay. I could not find anything where that money was transferred out in the minutes.
Not being here in 2008, I can't answer that.
No. 2009.
But, again, but it's based on 2009 numbers.
No. This is 2009. January 1st, 2009, this is what you had in there. $58,164. That's what you had January 1st. Were you here January 1st, 2009?
No.
No. Okay. Councilman.
I wasn't.
Okay.
I'm not.
Does
can
anybody
I see what,
know
can
where
I
money,
see,
does anybody here
can I
know
see
where
what
money went? Terry, you were here. You've been here 30 years.
Sir, can I just see what you're looking at, just so I just want to make sure I'm on the right page.
My name's Joe. Oh, congratulations on your baby.
Thank you. All right, where are we here? Right here. Dedicated sewer utility budget. Total sewer utility operation. No, that's expended. The top of the heading here is expended in 2009.
Okay.
That's what was spent. Expended in 2009. Appropriations, expenditures.
Right.
We spent that.
That was spent out of reserve.
That, correct.
Where?
For the 2009 budget. As part of the 2009 budget that was used. That was part of the expenditures for the 2009 sewer utility.
I thought that that's where the reserve, what that's what you have in there.
Expended 2009, right?
Paid and charged.
Right.
And this is your reserve.
Right. But this is part of what was fully expended in 2009. As part of our total expenditures, any one of these can be part of any one of these expenditures. That was used as part of the 2009 sewer budget.
Okay, I'm going to have to go back, but I
what was the conclusion, excuse me?
That was the $58,000 was part of the 2009 sewer budget, was used as part of the budget.
Okay.
If you want to know specifically
what reserve, right? Correct?
If you want to know specifically what it said, I'd have to go into the finance.
I would love to know where that money, we were talking about this the last two meetings ago, and nobody had mentioned that before.
Again, looking at that just now, that was part of the 2000. It was like any other line item in any other budget.
Okay, but
it'll say, as an example, you might have, you know, this department's operating expense, X dollars.
Still, it wasn't down where it was taken out.
Well, it
in the minutes.
No, it's not going to get placed on the minutes. What's going to happen is any expenditures out of any account get placed on a bill list.
Okay.
The
so in November, I should be able to find that where this money
is. Well, it may not have been spent in February, may not have been spent until December. I don't, you know what I mean? It's, what I'm saying is,
but
you have a...
Hang on one second. This isn't the money that was in the reserve, correct? But it was spent?
As part of the 2009 budget, yes.
But it was in the reserve, correct?
I'd have to go in the what I'd have to look at is the 2009 annual financial statement. What
okay.
I don't know what you're looking at, is that the final adopted budget or is that the introduced budget? I can't tell from that page you're looking at. I don't, and I'm not.
Well,
I tried
to get more information,
I mean,
and it was very difficult.
I just don't
want to
misspeak because I don't
no,
know.
No, I understand. I'm frustrated because it sounds like I'm getting a freaking runaround. I've been up here for three times, but this, as far as I mean, isn't this out of the reserve? I'm sorry.
No, and that's fine. In a little while, when we talk sewer, when we talk about
you know what?
Just follow
it's
up
really
on
aggravating because nobody up here. I've been up here three times, and nobody can give me questions where this money goes. And now we're hearing we're going to raise it, and it's really, really getting underneath my skin.
Any expenditure, no matter what account it's from, gets placed on a bill list. This bill list, twice
correct.
A month, comes before council. That lists every single expenditure.
Okay.
Now, what line item that particular money was on, I can't say by looking at that page. As an example, say you have a department, and they have 20,000. Oh, I'm sorry. Our CFO would like to jump in.
Go to the microphone.
Yeah.
What he's talking about is the number reported on the audit report as the appropriation reserves from 2008. But every budget cycle is 24 months. So the December bills are not paid until January, February. That's what you were referring to, for the 4 months to expand. It's actually you have entire 2009 year to pay up any bills for 2008 that weren't paid until December. This is that number you're looking for.
Is this number not in the reserve?
No, just let me finish.
Okay.
So January through December of 2009, we paid 2008 bills. For example, if we had a electricity bill or, you know, consulting bill or anything else that was appropriate to 2008, those bills were paid in 2009. In fact, in the next 2 weeks, annual financial statements is going to come for 2009, and it's going to show where the 58,000 were expended in 2009. And if you would like to stop by the clerk's office, we can run you a report from the system that shows that $58,000 were expended in 2009.
But what I'm trying to figure out is where this reserve money went. Okay, so explain to me the reserve money.
Well,
how did we get $300,000 in debt on the reserve?
The reserves for expenditures and the $300,000 that you're just mentioning that we're going to discuss later are two different items. One is a revenue and one is an expense. And budget consists of two different, I guess if you want to call them modules, revenue module and expenditure module. Just because you had a reserve on appropriation, which is expenditure side, has nothing to do with revenues. Those funds were reserved
to pay any of the 2008 bills that didn't arrive to the municipality up to December 31st of 2008.
I understand. I mean, if you get me correctly,
sure.
We started out, and what year do we have the 300,000? I mean, I'm going crazy.
Well, no, so the 300,000 is separate. We can.
But I understand that. But we started out with 300,000 in reserve, and now
300,000 is not in reserve.
How much did we have in our reserve a while ago? Not now. Years ago.
I have to go back and look at the record.
Right, because we were looking at. Dave, any idea?
I mean, I had the report there up until.
I mean, I'm just very concerned that how we got all of this money out of the reserve, and now we're all of a sudden $300,000 in debt.
The reserve, you look in here, has nothing to do with the fund balance. When you're calling reserve, I think what you're talking about is a fund balance.
Yeah.
And
surplus.
So
is that what you're...
This reserve has nothing
reserve,
to do with...
That's what we've been talking
that
about.
That is not a fund balance. This
okay.
is the reserve in the budget line item that is available
okay.
to pay 2008 bills in the beginning of 2009.
Say in December I
this
get a
is,
purchase order to buy something for $1,000.
Right.
Right.
And I don't get the invoice till January. That's what that money is.
Okay.
It's not a fund balance. If you read, if you look at the audit, which is that, you know.
Well, I don't have it.
Right.
We can't.
No.
I'm looking on our website.
It's in the clerk's office, and, you know, you're more than welcome to take a look. But this is appropriation reserve. It has nothing to do with fund balance.
So this is, okay.
Well, I should under sewer.
Because sewer has a budget, and sewer has bills every year. So it's the bill. It's the money that
can
we have.
Can I ask you one question?
Sewer bills.
Where's the $300,000 that we went into debt? Where did that money go?
We're going to talk about sewer when we get
okay.
to that on the agenda, because I have a lot to say about
right.
also.
Well, thank you for your time.
And Mr. Kresser, just so you're aware, the manager is available during the week if you are, you know, and you can certainly stop in and...
Oh, I'm always available.
You can
I
stop
plenty of time now.
You can stop in most any day, and, you know, I would
thank
call
you.
First to make sure that he's here,
all
and not in Trenton or something.
Sure. This is great.
Anyone else? Okay, going once, going twice. Accept the motion to close the audience portion.
I'll make the motion to close the audience portion.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that brings us to ordinances.
Ordinance 2, 2010.
I move ordinance 2, 2010.
I'll second for discussion.
Do we do the roll call first or the public hearing?
Roll call.
Roll call.
Howell?
Yes.
Hayes?
Yes.
Leyva?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Hayes?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes. And at this point, I'd open up the public hearing on the ordinance 2010 establishing recreation department program fees.
I move we close the audience portion.
We're still going to do discussion, right?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And any abstentions?
Now we can discuss.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with the ordinance. I think it's well structured. I like the idea of the minimum maximum concept, so we don't have to do this every year. What I have a problem with is the $0 cost for senior citizens outside of the borough. I don't have a problem with waiving it for in-borough residents, but I have a problem with outside residents because, you know, we do still have a $350,000 Green Acres loan, which we have to pay off that renovated the pool. I just feel like it could be a burden for us because non-residents are not paying for the pool. I just think we should at least reconsider that portion of it. You could still have a zero minimum and have a, like, whatever, a $30 maximum and let the rec commission and the park director make that assumption on a year-to-year basis. But I don't like having a $0 amount for out-of-town residents because potentially you can have seniors being bused in here on a weekend or weekday and they're not paying for the pool. I mean, it's coming off the taxpayers' backs, and I don't think that's right. So that's my amendment.
If we made that change, we would have to, there would be a material change to the ordinance.
We can adopt it as amended, can't we?
No, what you should do, if you want to make that change, you should adopt this ordinance and then just do a minor amendment to the ordinance in the future to do that. Because if you change the dollar number, even if it's a small change, it's going to be considered significant.
Okay.
So you'd have to re-advertise.
So
but you could pass the ordinance just as it is,
next time have an amendment on there for one little line that says, you know...
When you say next time, next meeting?
Yeah. I mean, if that's the wish, yeah, after this is adopted, that's the wish of the governing body.
I don't have a problem with that.
You still have to re-advertise that.
But only a little bit. You only have to be amending one line of the ordinance, so otherwise you'd have to re-advertise.
You don't have to republish the whole.
Correct.
Yeah, that was also the issue I had with that. I agree with making it available to our seniors if they live in the borough, but I don't agree with it for our people outside. I don't even know any schools that will just let any senior come in.
Victor, excuse me, can you move the microphone down a little further?
No, I disagree with making it available to people that are not residents of Washington Borough for free, for seniors. You know, you could charge them a minimum charge. You know, I agree, one of the arguments was that seniors will bring guests with them. Well, that's fine. I mean, if they're from out of the borough and they get, maybe charge them a minimum charge, like maybe a $5 fee for seniors outside the borough. You know, if they still want to bring guests with them that are paying, it's fine. But I think we should make it free for the seniors that live in the borough, but outside the borough not.
Yeah.
And I also think that to ensure that this works, they should produce some type of proof of residency and non-residency.
To Councilman Scioni's point, the park director did concur on the zero fees for both resident and non-resident seniors, because I did specifically ask him that, so it did go through the process to get to this point.
I just think it's a burden on the taxpayers that outside residents are not going to foot the bill for the pool.
Right. And also, the pool, from what I understand, the pool always runs at a deficit. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be adding to the deficit by letting more people use it for nothing. Does that like make good business sense?
Well, what it seems we should do here is either pass or deny the ordinance and then make another motion if the ordinance passes as to adjusting those fees.
I have one question. Once the ordinance takes effect, is when we're going to do the resolution setting the fees?
That's correct. This is just memorializing the fee structure. Council will be presented with a resolution saying each of these categories what the 2010 recommended fee should be. That comes from the park director.
That's going to be at the next meeting?
I don't think that by the time, it's 20 days after publication, so it might not be till the second meeting, 2 meetings from now.
Okay, any further discussion? Can we have a roll call, please?
This is to pass the ordinance, because I agree.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be the next motion.
Okay. Yes.
Housel?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes. Now, Councilman Scioni, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to amend the one line item for non-resident senior citizen fees to include a minimum maximum of a dollar amount that's given by the park director and the rec commission.
Rec committee.
Okay,
is there a second?
I'll second it.
And this is for yearly membership.
Seasonal membership, yeah.
Okay, is there any other discussion on that? Have a roll call, please.
Scioni?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Housel?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
No.
Higgins?
No.
Valentine?
Yes.
It should be pointed out real quick. The daily fee for senior citizens that live outside of the borough, the min-max is $1 and $15. So theoretically, they could be paying $15 a season, for a daily pass, and $0 for the season, based on how it's worded today.
Okay. That moves us on to reports.
I move we file reports.
Second.
Any discussion on the reports?
I do, Mayor. The tax collector's revenue report. If we could scroll down to the redemption line item, please. It says revenue $1,004 for January, but there's no numbers in year to date. I was just questioning why that would be.
Redemption, you said?
Redemption.
Am I pronouncing that properly?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm just
right there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong column.
There's no redemption for IC months. Talk about tax. Tax
Yeah, it's underneath WBTV phone.
Oh, I got it. Redemption. 1,004 in January. It just wasn't transferred over.
Does the computer program add all those numbers?
No.
Okay, so that will be corrected?
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion on the reports? One
more, if I may, please.
Mike?
Issues and details, issue 195. North Jackson, is that a named borough street?
Technically, it's just Jackson.
But it's still a named borough street?
Yes.
Thank you.
Anything else? All in favor of receiving and filing the reports?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, do we have any committee reports this evening?
Mayor, I'd just like to announce that Thursday, March 4th at 6 o'clock, Sheriff Services Committee will be meeting here to get that started. Streets Committee, Tuesday, March 9th at 6 o'clock, same place here if anybody's interested to get these committees active. One more thing real quick, the Washington Garden Committee, I went to the meeting on Saturday. They're going to be groundbreaking April 24, I imagine, to get the fence put in. So it's moving along quite nicely. I am on the rules and regulations for that because there are some things we got to be careful of. And I'll bring it to council for input also. So that's where we're at with that.
Thank Patrick, you. Did they give you any updates on the website, how that's progressing?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Councilman. They're linking off of our website,
right.
I believe.
They have to still build their website.
Correct, but appreciate the help that you gave them.
No problem. Did they give you a status as to where it is? No?
No, they did not.
I'll follow up then. Park Committee. This is for the Pocket Park, which is the former antique lot, which is we're in the process of potentially purchasing from the owners to put a Pocket Park. Latest update was the owners of the property had gotten additional soil samples tested. Those results were from an independent company. Those results were turned over to the borough engineer to give a recommendation to council as to the level of contamination, if there was contamination of the fill soil. The report that came back from the borough engineer noted that there was some levels of contamination, and they were looking at a $30,000 to $50,000 estimated remediation cost. Mm-hmm. $30,000 to $50,000 remediation cost. So based on that, that information was given back to Sandy Cerami, the bid director, and she's been in contact with the owners of the property to see what the next potential steps are. So that, right now, we're not comfortable with introducing the ordinance to move forward with the purchase until such time as we hear back from the owners of the property. Because I don't think the bid or the borough is in a position to do a $50,000 remediation project on a contaminated site. So I don't have any other additional updates from that. That's where we stand with that. I would assume we're going to hear back probably within the next week or so. So probably by the next meeting, we should have some definitive answers whether we're going to move forward with this park or in some way, shape, or form or not. So I apologize. That's the best information I can get to you at this point. But the turnaround time was, you know, very late in the week, and Andrew Holt did a fantastic job in getting the information from the independent party and turning it around relatively quickly for us. So that we could be ready for this meeting and have a decision. So that's the decision on the park committee. Hopefully I'll give you a better update at the next meeting. Website committee, nothing drastically different. No real updates there, I don't think.
Did you mention that you received the honorable?
We did receive an honorable mention from Rutgers. They do a yearly website award forget. It's a contest, basically, and all the municipalities, not all, but a lot of municipalities in New Jersey will enter this contest, and it goes about, you know, website design, content, those types of criteria. So we did receive an honorable mention, but I'm anticipating next year we're gonna win the whole thing, because I actually, on a side note, I saw the website that actually won, and I didn't see what was so special about it. So maybe it's biased on my point, but I think we could take it next year. So that was it for website.
Any other committee reports?
Yes, Mayor. The Senior Services Committee, I received some information from the county, Warren County Senior Services group, and I'm going to be disseminating that information to Victor so he can place it on the website.
Thank you. Okay, anything else?
We just need to add the Grant Committee, because hopefully I will have things.
Okay, hearing no other committee reports, we'll move on into new business. First thing we have is a special ABC license for the Washington Fire Department. We have...
Yeah.
Sorry?
Dave, you might want to disqualify yourself on this.
Sure.
I'll explain to you then.
Okay. I accept the motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
I don't have it. I don't even know what it is.
You don't. You're just approving their application. You don't get a copy of the application.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Say aye.
Aye.
Okay. We're going to deviate just a little bit here. We're going to bring Resolution 62-2010, change order to the downtown streetscape, so we can get our engineer in and out of here, get him off the clock.
Okay.
Mr. Holt.
This is a procedural step that we have to take to satisfy the NJDOT. The streetscape project, as you know, has been around for several years. It was funded by a series of grants through the DOT process, and in closing out the project with the two contractors, Marbeck Construction and Berto Construction, who did the majority of the improvements out on Washington Avenue. The paperwork we prepared for NJDOT finalization identified that there was a reconciliation that needed to be done on the Berto paperwork. Berto's original contract award by the borough for two of the contracts was in the total amount of $297,182.70. In our review of their original bid documents, we've determined that that was an incorrect amount in terms of the math that was done in adding the contracts together was inaccurate. There were alternate bid items for alternate materials, and they didn't properly net out those items that were not awarded, and it should have been awarded for a lower amount. The bottom line is, it should have been $270,182.70. The difference being the amount of this alternate item that was not authorized, not installed, and there was no change in the amount that the borough paid for the improvements out there to Berto. Berto was in the final tally was paid $276,000 or thereabouts, with the few minor changes and contract adjustments there were and under their contract. So what we need to do is adopt a resolution recognizing that the original contract amount back in 07, I think it was awarded. The resolution itself had an incorrect amount, but the bottom line is the amounts paid by the borough to Berto, the contractor, were correct. They were in accordance with the bid documents, and the total amount paid was representative of the amount that was authorized. So it's just the resolution that needs to be clarified and reconciled, and that's what we've offered here in this resolution. There's an explanation of that, and once it's adopted, we can provide that to DOT, and that will clean up the disparity in the paperwork.
Okay. Well, I would accept the motion for Resolution 62-2010.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion, questions for our engineer?
Is this part of the money that we're going to get reimbursed?
This is what we need to do to get the money back. The 25% of the total grant still remains to be returned or given to the borough by the DOT. So once we get this paperwork finalized, we'll see those proceeds.
What kind of timeline turnaround, Andrew, basically?
We've been in direct contact with Cheryl Edwards at DOT Local Aid, and she's been helping us through this process because it's been so drawn out. She cannot commit to a date as to when a check will be cut, but she assured me if I get her this paperwork in the next 2 weeks, it would be the first thing off her desk. So okay. I don't know what that
she
means.
She doesn't want to see it anymore.
She's tired of seeing this as well. So, to commit to something right now, I'm not in a place to do that, but it's got to be within this year. I cannot believe this would go any longer.
Right. So where does this money go back to?
If earlier in this year, if you remember, council dedicated that money to pay off for the parking lot. You authorized, council made a motion to use that money to offset our future costs for our parking lot obligation.
I thought that was the money that we used from
it was the Van Cleve and DOT money was to be used. We're going to start with the Van Cleve money and the balance to be paid with this.
So we said we're going to put $270,000 away to pay for the parking lot.
Well, I don't know what the final cost is going to be more than $270,000.
So what I'm talking about is the money that we're getting back is $270,000, right?
Yeah, no, it's larger than
it's
that.
It's like 390.
On top of the 309 that we're putting away?
Yes.
I don't remember 390. I remember 309, and I remember
309 was
50,000.
The Van Cleve money.
Right. Pardon me?
309 was the Van Cleve money.
Right.
We're going to use that money first.
So you're saying that this was dedicated?
This wasn't dedicated at the time. At the end of last year, I recommended to council we use that money and earmark it to pay off existing debt, that being one of them, instead of using it to incur new.
And we voted to do that.
A motion was made in one of our meetings.
To put that aside with the Van Cleef money?
Yes.
You remember that?
No, I couldn't answer that.
I don't remember.
I don't remember if it was at one of our workshops or not, but it was recommended and council approved.
I remember the $309,000 and the $50,000 bond that was left in the bond for a total of $359,000.
I don't know.
Does anybody else remember the $270,000?
I remember we were going to utilize whatever the $309,000
right.
plus whatever the balance of the parking lot cost was going to be offset by whatever remaining balance of DOT money. So if there was over, let's say, for argument's sake, it was $309,000 plus an extra $100,000, right? So let's say a total of the parking lot was a total of $409,000 that we owed.
Right.
Right? So let's say DOT sends us $300,000 just for rounding it off. So that extra $200,000 would be used to pay off additional debt, not necessarily associated to the parking lot.
I remember the additional debt. I don't remember the parking lot. I'll get with you to get that information.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? Let's have a roll call on this, please.
Howell?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Leo?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, that would bring us on to Resolution 63-2010, discussion on the sewer rate increase and consideration of this resolution.
I'll move Resolution 63-2010.
Second. Okay, now the discussion.
Okay, we're looking at $7, right?
The $7 will make up this year's $300,000 deficit.
Okay.
Budget shortfall. That does not account for the remaining monies in the past 5 to 10 years that have been taken from sewer via interfunds and not replenished.
Oh, but don't interfunds have to be paid back?
They're supposed to be paid back, correct. They've never been paid back here.
How are they paid back?
Example, if I take $10,000 from sewer current and I put it in another fund, they're supposed to pay it from the fund you gave it to back to the originating fund.
Okay, but we don't know what fund we put it into, so we don't know what fund has to pay it back. Is that right?
No, we know. We know it's in our annual audits. It was presented in March 19th. Well, last year when Tom gave his presentation.
Okay, where did it go?
The interfund?
Yeah, well, I mean...
It's still there.
No. Where was it spent?
Where did the $300,000 go?
Oh, with the $300,000, do you want me to get up?
Yeah. This is, for those who don't know, this is Tom Ferry, our municipal auditor.
All right. The $300,000 was used last year to balance the budget. We can only anticipate, in other words, The first thing you want to figure out when you do a municipal budget, SOAR budget, you've got to figure out your expenditures. So if your expenditures are $2.5 million, which our SOAR budget is last year, you take in SOAR rent.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you're allowed to, and if you have it, you use fund balance, which you could use to help offset that. Last year, as you remember, we had no CFO and we had no manager. I came in using the budget from the prior manager. I noticed that that budget was short by roughly $200,000, $300,000. From there, what I do is I look at other sources of revenue. If I don't have it in fund balance, which we didn't have it in, I look for other sources of revenue. The other sources of revenue that were utilized were $269,658 from your capital, SOAR capital, SOAR surplus. In your capital, in your SOAR capital fund, there's a fund balance. If you do an ordinance, a fully funded ordinance, and you use money from capital surplus, and you don't use that full ordinance, you can cancel it. It goes into capital surplus. You can do a fully funded project from capital surplus. If you need to, you can utilize it. You can utilize it as an item of revenue. It was a pocket of money we had that was sitting there, and we utilized it to balance the budget last year. That's the 2009 budget. Okay.
Tom, if you would separate out the borough municipal budget.
This is just the SOAR.
Okay.
This is just the SOAR
budget.
I'm sorry. This is just, we're talking just the SOAR budget.
Okay.
We also had a line item or a reserve, another pool of money, okay, on the balance sheet, and it was reserved for contribution in aid of contribution SOAR capital fund. Okay, it was probably given by a contractor. And it's been, and I saw it was sitting on the books for a while. So that was another item that we were able to utilize in the budget to offset the expenditures so that we didn't have to do a SOAR rate last year. So basically, we utilized almost $310,000 from other sources that we had on hand, so we didn't have to extend the SOAR budget and do a SOAR rate increase or to lower the budget, which I don't think there was available, $310,000. Those were one-shot deals. Okay, you don't have fund balance. You don't have fund balance. You have a small amount of fund balance which you can't utilize in SOAR operating. Okay? You don't have the $269,000 anymore. We used that for 2009 to balance the budget, and you don't have the $50,000. What you do have are some increases in your salaries, your wages, your operating expenses. We have, Pat, we have your $26,000 or your $36,000 in an operating deficit from 2008. State of New Jersey says you cannot have an operating deficit. An operating deficit means your revenues, your expenditures are not covered by your revenues. Okay? You can't eat into your fund balance. So what the state of New Jersey says, you have an operating deficit. In other words, your revenues didn't cover your expenditures. You have to put that in the following year's budget. $36,000. Pat had a question on that. He wrote an email to Rich. $36,000 had to be added to last year's budget to pick up that deficit. So that was another $36,000 that had to be raised in 2009.
But in 2008 audit, it says here $8,331.14 will have to be raised in the 2009 current fund and sewer utility operating fund budgets, respectively. So there's quite a difference between $300,000 and $8,000.
Well, no, but don't, you're mixing up You're mixing, what page are you looking at, Dave?
38. Third paragraph.
Yeah. Okay, I think I know what you're talking about.
That's what you're talking about right there, that no funds can be, everything has to equal out.
As a result, the board of community funds in excess are appropriated for charges to $12,000. Good point. Yeah. Natasha, she just reminded you, this what didn't have to, this was talking about current fund.
It says current fund.
Yes, we're talking sewer.
It says current will have to be raised. I'll read the whole sentence. As a result of the borough committing funds in excess of amounts appropriated, deferred charges in the amount of $12,682.51 and $8,331.14 will have to be raised in the 2009 current fund and sewer utility operating fund budgets, respectively. So it includes the sewer fund.
Respectfully. So I think it was the 12 and the 8. I think that's what he's saying.
No, I think the 12,000, as it's put here, goes into the current fund, and I think the 8,000 goes into the sewer utility. The way I'm
I think it's a typo. Not my audience.
I understand what you're saying.
This is D1,
mm-hmm.
Statement of Utility.
Mm-hmm.
There's the $36,000. What does it say?
Operating deficit to be raised to the budget. Okay, now.
So I think what first, happens is that they said this first.
Yeah, but they took that money out of the reserve. According to what's put here, what I understand to be from D1, that money came out of the reserve to offset the cost.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Let this conversation go on, please.
The 36,000 was right here, right? Okay.
Now that has to be raised in the this is the 2008 audit.
Right.
That deficit has to be raised in the 2009 budget.
I understand what you're saying here, but the fund balance, your
stays
words.
The same.
Your
fund balance has to stay the same. In other words, you can't, it's not like a business where your deficit can take away from what you supply from the previous year, your fund balance. The state of New Jersey says you have a deficit and you have to stop here. You can't utilize any fund balance because you didn't budget for it. So you can't let that deficit eat away at your fund balance. You have to raise it, and that's the state law, this is not my law. You have to raise it in the following year's budget. Same thing with current funds. If your current fund had a deficit in operations, you'd have to raise that in your regular taxes. So this $36,000 was part of your 2009 budget, and it was paid.
So last year, we did not use any of the fund balance because you have to keep that $21,000. So that $21,000 is still there?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so if the fund balance then the year before would be $21,000, correct?
Yes, it was.
So let me check that.
D1, same page, D1.
I'm looking at it right here, the same, D.
D1.
Well, that's not D1 right there. Oh, sheet 1.
That's sheet 1, D1, 21.
633.
And then go to D1 here.
Yeah.
21, 21.
Tom, where do we find the $300,000 in print that we, as the borough, say that we are at a deficit at?
I don't think deficit.
Somebody says it needs to be replaced.
It's
and for a month now, we've been trying to dig through these things and just finding that number.
As I explained, it's not a deficit in your operations. What it is a loss of revenue. So if your expenditures are here, and we balance the budget with $310,000, it's no longer there. Your revenues just dropped $310,000 to anticipate because it was a one-shot deal last year. Your expenditures are staying up here because of debt service and just normal operations and just increases in your normal daily O&M, your operating and maintenance. We also have debt your debt service obligations too. It's not, in essence, if you're putting together a budget and you see you have 2.5 million and you only have revenues of 2.2, you could say, okay, that's a deficit. However, in the state of New Jersey, except for the state, we can't run in a deficit. We have to balance the budget. And we don't have this one-shot money anymore, this capital surplus number, or this $50,000 in the store contribution. That was on the balance sheet. It was a pool of money. We used it last year to balance the budget. That's $310,000. It's gone.
So, Tom, can I just see if I can clarify this? So you're saying last year our expenditures for the sewer plant were up here,
yes,
right, and our revenues were somewhere around here. So we noticed that, and basically we said the only way we're going to even this up is if we, you know, liquidate the kids' college fund to get us to here, and that was the money that was like sort of found money from last year.
Yeah, it was capital. It's called capital fund balance.
Right. So that money's gone because the college fund is wiped out and
liquidated
in order to true us up.
That's correct.
So this year there's no college fund, but we're still here.
Your expenditures are still
still
up there, yeah.
So that doesn't go away.
Because
that's where the $300,000 makeup has to happen.
Yeah, a deficit is a bad word, but because you're thinking it's on your balance sheet, but it's really not a deficit in operations. All it is a, call it a shortfall in revenue.
Right.
And that's where you're at. Your expenditures are up here and your revenues are here. There's no other place. We can't take it from surplus. We don't have any surplus. We can't utilize that $21,000. Of course, there's another state rule that says, there's a formula that says you can use a certain amount of surplus or fund balance, but we can't because we're stuck, because we're at that $21,000 level and we can't utilize it. The state has sort of like a minimum we can use. So there are no more one-time shots here. So that's where, if you're saying to, if it's a deficit, it's not really a deficit, it's more of a shortfall. I call it a shortfall in revenue. If you think it's hype, whatever you want to call it, but that's the truth. We're just short on revenues. So it's not a deficit per se.
We're spending more money in a given year than we're making back in the sewer, because the rates are lower than they should be adjusted.
Yeah.
Can I explain some things only to some of the people in the audience? Because I'm new also, so I've been doing a lot of looking at the numbers too, and I spent a lot of time with Stephanie Lewis asking her questions. And maybe just so everyone understands how it all works, that the utility was set up that every 3 years or so, the rates would be reevaluated, and then they would have to be increased. This started back in 1999. Because our debt obligation would be increasing. In 1999, we had very little debt because we were just starting out, and then every year the debt had increased. Unfortunately, though, between 1998 and 2005, the rates were never increased. You know, had they been increased every 2 or 3 years, a couple of dollars, so that we could pay the debt off, we wouldn't be where we are right now. In 2006, that's when they increased the rate to $45. Even back then, they were recommended to increase it higher so that we would not run into this problem, but they didn't. They just did a $2 increase to $45. So, and I'm going to read from notes, too, from speaking with her. So each year, what happened was, if you looked at every single audit, and I went back and looked at all the audits, there is this fund balance, and it was approved in the budget so that we didn't have an increase in the EDU rate. Instead of increasing the rate, what they did was they took money from this fund balance, and then at the end of the year, there was some left over, but they never increased the rate, so we never had any increase in revenues coming in, and we never had, well, we had revenues coming in, but not enough to make up for the money that we really needed, and we weren't gaining any extra surplus. So this fund money just kept going down and down. And if you look at all the audits going back, and you can go into the clerk's office, you'll see it being approved. And then the following year, though, there was a little bit, you know, less. So eventually, then, we had no fund balance. That's where we're at. The last, it just happened then. So let's see, which year?
Janine, basically we weren't replacing that fund balance.
We weren't replacing, and that's, I mean, on one hand, that's the good news. It's not like we were using current funds. It's not like we were taking sewer funds and transferring it over to current funds. That's not what we, that's not what ever happened. We were just using the fund balance from sewer money. It was always sewer money that was changed, but we never replaced that sewer money. So that's kind of why. So what happened was then we owed that $36,000. Now this year, in our 2010 budget, we owe $26,000 from 2009. Plus, given all of our expenses and our debt, we actually owe about $275,000, which brings us to the $300,000. So the $300,000 we're trying to make up is not from years past. It's just to cover our expenses from this year. And I wanted to point out, speaking with Stephanie, our debt obligations. Our debt obligations right now for our, this 2010 budget coming up, it's 54% of our expenses. That's how much we owe in debt, and that's the schedule we have. And our debt schedule is locked in. That's not going to change. So on the one hand, that's good, but we know for up and through the year 2013, every year we have to pay about $1.2 million. It's a given we have to pay it. And going forward, just so you kind of know, it's going to be up to about $1.85 million in 2017. And then in 8 years, in the year 2018, it's going to go down to $100,000. So there's like light at the end of the tunnel. You know, in 8 years, it's going to be dramatically less the debt obligations, which means we won't need to make as much revenue. But right now, we have to get out of this hole, you know, that we're in. No one wants to, you know, increase the sewer. And I also spoke with Stephanie, too, even just looking at the operating expenses, too. And she said our municipality actually has one of the best controlled operating expenses. So it's not like we're getting ripped off by the sewer company. You know, because we have this contract service, we actually have one of the best controlled expenses because we're locked in. They can't, we can't change that rate either because it's based on the whole, like, you know, price index thing. So those things aren't going to change either. So it's kind of like absolutely necessary at this point to raise the EDU rate, whether it's $7 or we make it less and in 2 years or a year from now raise the rest of it.
I have two questions before for him. I know the ordinance portion is over, but I think this is important to your vote. When you first came up, you said that when you took over the managers, there was a $300,000 deficit in the budget, which means did you not budget enough, or was $300,000 misappropriated from the, or are you over budget? Or are you, where did $300,000
go? I'll just be ordered. When I first took over, there was, the manager was already gone.
Right.
And there was no CFO. So what I did is I had the manager's budget that I inherited to put together a budget for the mayor and council. And then when I started putting in the expenditure numbers, remember I said the first thing when you prepare a budget for anybody is you look at, you put in your expenditures, because a lot of them are fixed costs, debt service, just like your mortgage, home. You know you're going to have to pay that sucker, right? So you put the things in you know, and then you put in your other obligations, your operating and maintenance and things. Sewers have a lot of, you know, wacky things that they have to do because of the controls that they have to keep. They're very controlled by the EPA. If you go over a certain level of something, you get fined. So they have chemicals and all kinds of electrical. So those costs go up. So I got the budget, and now once you have those numbers, the expenditure side, you got to look at the revenue side. You say, okay, what did we take in last year from rent? Sure. And if you can't just come up with a bogus number, the state says you can only anticipate what you received from the previous year. So that's a good number. So whatever I received last year, I plugged that number in. I saw we had no fund balance. Can't do anything with that. The we also have some other little items that I was able to anticipate from some companies and store capacity fees and other fees I was able to, and miscellaneous fees. I plugged those numbers in. And again, those numbers are based upon the previous year because, again, you can't just make up numbers. The state looks at the budget. I was left with that that shortage in revenue. From there, I've been doing this for about 26 years. So from there, and I've prepared a lot of budgets over those years, I looked at some other things that I've done naturally in other towns, which are permissible by the state of New Jersey, Division of Local Government Services, one of them being utilizing capital surplus, okay? One of them is also I could utilize some other capital improvement funds, but I didn't want to touch that. So I utilized capital surplus. The other thing I sold was that contractor money. So that was $310,000. I closed that shortage hole, as you said.
But you keep saying shortage. I'm saying the previous right. year, when you're looking at that, the revenue should be a constant. You know how many units?
Sometimes.
Well, for the people who don't pay. But it should be a constant.
Well.
But when you're preparing for next year's budget,
right.
you're telling me you passed the year before his budget at a $300,000 deficit?
No. Last year, Dave, you have the audit report, we actually had a surplus, a fund balance, and we were able to use $275,000 of fund balance, which is like a little pot of money, like a savings account, that you were able to balance the budget with. But we didn't, what you're trying to do is generate back $275,000. 2008 was a particularly bad year. You had a deficit in operation. Besides not replenishing $275,000, you actually lost money, which had to be raised in the following year. So it's almost like a snowball effect. It's snowballing. Once you lost that $275,000 to anticipate as an item of revenue to plug the hole, as if you want to call it that, then it starts snowballing out of control. And not out of control, but you can see where financially, if you don't replenish that $275,000, now you don't have it next year. Now what do you do? So that's the position you're in that year, which I had to utilize, I had to make that judgment call and give it to the mayor and council.
What's the percentage of people who pay their sewer tax, or default rate? Okay, what's the default rate?
On the sewer tax? That I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, sewer is small compared to property tax. The sewer is...
Well, we know, Rich, it's not 100%.
Well, yeah, no.
Right.
No.
So, what you're telling me, with the car, every single year, you're going to have to raise our taxes on the sewer?
No.
You're saying all our costs are going up, and our deficit's here. So, every single year, you're going to have to go up.
You could make a conscious decision to raise it to a level where you wouldn't have to hit it every year. But just like everything else, pretty much,
but
energy costs go up.
Everything's going up, so that's yep. going to go up every single year. We're looking at an increase.
Yeah, and then we were looking at debt service increases, too.
Joe, right.
But
that's paying down the debt.
We're paying down the debt, so eventually we're not going to be paying that much.
It doesn't matter. Maybe I'm catching this wrong. You're saying that we were at a level, and we didn't do it for years, but we should have raised it.
Right, yeah,
every
3 years.
Because of all the costs is going up. So every year, our costs are going up, so we have to keep with that. So
until
2018.
That's when your mortgage goes away,
okay.
Technically. Because what you did is you mortgaged off the sewer treatment plant and the sewer pipes and all the construction. So you have new facilities. So you've got to pay off those. It's almost like buying a house. You've got to pay off the debt service. You have to pay off your mortgage.
And then what happens?
Well, either you have to replace it. You either tell how to make a conscious decision, or the engineer comes up and says, your sewer treatment plant needs upgrades, or the EPA comes in and says, you have a sewer treatment plant that's not up to spec. You need to upgrade your sewer treatment plant.
So let's not say it all of a sudden in 2018. Everything's great and we're all done. We don't get money back.
No.
But let's not portray that as that coming out, because
I don't even know what's going to happen.
I just want to be told the truth and what to expect. Huh?
It depends on what the engineer comes in at, and if, like I said, we always are getting inspected by EPA for inflow and all kinds of stuff to make sure that you're not dumping into the groundwater pollutants. They're very tight. They're very regulated.
I understand.
So, yes. 2018, you might need an upgrade. You may not. We might be able to put money away. We might need to put money away and put it into a thing where we don't have to go and borrow now. You might be able to keep it at the same level. There's a lot of, a lot of strategies you can do. And I bring, that's my job, and the CFO's job is to bring it to the mayor and council, you know, bring it in front of them and let them make a conscious decision.
One other thing. Now, you were saying that this is something that you can borrow out of, correct? You can use, well, once we get a capital in there, reserve, how you call it, a reserve, you want to be able to use that as a different fund, but you're supposed to pay that back?
Oh, we were talking, before you were talking about the interfund?
Well, on our sewer treatment, where we have a reserve, I call it a reserve. Basically, we're raising $5,000, that's going to replace the reserve surplus.
Oh, no, well, hopefully, yes. What that does is it will increase, there's a line item in the budget. It's called rent. That number is now going to get added to, because we know the number of users, we know the dollar amounts that are going to be coming in, so now the sewer rent number is going to be increased. We send that to the state of New Jersey and say, we just increased by ordinance or by resolution the sewer rent. Okay, and this is the dollar amount, so we can anticipate more money in the budget and as a revenue to offset those expenditures. And then hopefully the economy turns around, because there's line items in there called interest on investment. We're getting 0.4 on our money, which is ridiculous. But hopefully the economy turns around, people start paying maybe their sewer bills a little quicker. And we will generate some surplus, and then we can look back and see what's going on. But until then, this is the situation we're in right now.
I understand that, but our surplus that is supposed to be paid back, if you borrow from that, just say 5 years now,
it's
you
good
have
planning
$100,000.
Yeah.
So there is no law to pay it back. You can take it and not pay it back.
Correct. But that's never a good strategy. Never try
that. Well, I understand.
And unfortunately, when you're doing a budget, you don't have a crystal ball. Nobody foresaw, the oil prices going up or electricity prices. So in the past, it seems you were regenerating it, because this thing would have happened a long time ago. You were generating surplus. You were bringing back it. But unfortunately, 2008, 2009, it's just, as you know, it's just a bad economy, and everything is tanking. And it's just not Washington Borough, it's the state of New Jersey. It's every municipality that pretty much do. So it's just not here, it's pretty much everywhere.
Well, yeah, that's why we're trying, every dollar counts.
Our household budgets are tanking.
Big increase.
So, but you want us to pay more money. Where are we supposed to get this money from? I don't know about anybody else, but I haven't had a raise in 2 years. But everything else is going up. My health care went up 6%. Now you want to charge me another $7 to cart away sewage. My budget is tanking. So what pocket of money am I pulling from?
Come back.
Our municipal budget last year from the departmental operating expenses, each budget was cut between 5 and 15%. Our current departmental spending is not the issue. Our debt is the issue. I was speaking with the CFO and the auditor earlier. Our debt ratio is at 3%. That's an extremely, extremely high amount of debt for a small municipality. Well, 3% is big for any municipality. We're feeling it more here because it's smaller. Our debt is our killer. It is not our current spending.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the question in the back there.
You had 100 new homes added, paying the sewer rate as it is.
We're billing out just under 3,800 EDUs in the community. That's what we're billing out now. As far as those extra 100,
new development on Kinnaman Avenue, there's 100 houses there.
If they're connected into our sewer system, they're paying.
Is it?
The first year, you see an increase, but after that, it balances out. The first year, you have that increase, and it's like, wow, we have all this money coming in. But the problem is, but after that, it all balances out.
All right, that was 2 years ago that the houses were built. This is when all the problems started. You were getting more money.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
6 years he's been in town, and that he lives in the new development.
Almost seven. And my house wasn't one of the first ones built. We were in the last phase. So that development's been online for at least 9 years.
Let me give a little history on the sewer plant and why it was rebuilt. And I don't know if anybody wants to hear it, but sewer plant was built in 1910. No major upgrade was done on the sewer plant until 1964. In 1974, 75, 76, we started looking at redoing the sewer plant because we were going to be fined per day thousands of dollars for not meeting the outflow requirements set by the DEP. So we had to rebuild the sewer plant. We had to reconfigure it. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
We had lead pipe.
Excuse me?
We had the old lead pipe.
Well, it wasn't lead pipe. Some of it may have been lead, but the others were the old ductile. We had a trickling filter that was outdated back years and years and years. The guys at the sewer plant were holding that together with actually baling twine and wire and everything else they could do to try to make the plant work. So we rebuilt the sewer plant. We got a grant or a bond through the wastewater treatment fund. At the time, it was somewhere around 2.275, Dave.
What, the money that we got?
Yeah, that was the interest rate, I believe. Around 2.275, which at the time was very low. It was a great rate. And I asked the manager today to make sure that when he has the opportunity to check with bond counsel to make sure we are still paying that 2.2 rate on these bonds, to make sure that that would be a cost-saving measure, all right, to make sure that they weren't rolled over into a larger bond and costing more money and all that, all right? I want to make sure that that's what happened. If we did not rebuild the sewer plant, we would have had $5,000 a day in damages, $20,000 a day in damages, a day, leveled by the DEP. Now, the reason I was standing in the back when I heard the gentleman stand up and talk about local towns having $16 fees and whatever the fees were per month. The reason we're paying what we are is because of the debt service. Once we get down, the idea was, yes, we would be lower than the $45. But in that 20 years, we're probably going to have to do some renovations to that sewer plant. It runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've already had to replace a grinder. Some of the pumps have gone bad, but with the contract we have, Viola absorbs some of that cost.
They absorb all of that cost.
That's right.
Not some, but all of it.
Right.
All of it, right. So that's got to...
So, what we're looking at is the actual cost now of operating the sewer plant. And the state says we have to match what our costs are. And that's the bottom line. It's not a pretty picture. It's not great. I don't like it either. I don't want to see my sewer bill go up. But my health insurance went up, for my daughter, went up 22%.
You know, when this was originally, so if I was involved then with the rate, and it was explained to us that those of us that were paying the extra money because we were either single or a couple to a family with teenage kids and all, that money was going to be put into a fund, it would be there, it would cover these expenditures when they arose. And that's why everybody was paying the same amount, so that fund would be there to cover. And that's how it was explained to us.
I think you misunderstood what was said at that public hearing.
No.
What was said was, the reason...
I followed it, I was here for it. I expressed it then, just as I'm expressing it now, and that's exactly what I was told. I'm sorry, I don't have dementia.
We went through all kinds of ideas of paying for the sewage. Scott, you were on the council at the time.
Yes.
Scott was in favor of doing it according to water usage. One of the disadvantages of doing it with water usage is water usage varies from month to month. There's no way to really establish a set fee of money coming in, because if times are tough like they are now, people are not going to maybe water their lawns. So the water usage backs down. All right, and what that would do is cause us even with less revenue, okay, because of the decreased water usage. So we came up with the idea of putting meters in the sewers. Well, the cost of the meters was prohibitive because it would have cost another, I forget exactly what the figure was, but it was a huge amount of money to put meters in the sewer. So we came up with EDUs. And we went back and forth for quite a while on it. And EDUs, we felt, was the best way to know that if you have, right now we have 3,800 EDUs or somewhere in that area that we're charging per month. We know that we're charging $45 a month per EDU, and we have 3,800. We multiply that times 45. That's going to be our income, expected income, by the end of the year. And that's how we get those rates, right, Tom?
Yes.
Okay, and you know, I thank you for you explaining this. I appreciate it, and I'm actually very disappointed in council that no one, the past years, you've been going over this stuff, you know, and I hope, you can't see, everybody's sitting here like, to know about anything.
Joe, to be honest with you, the reason it was, it's our fault. It's council's fault.
Terry, this makes me sick to my stomach that you're representing us and we're spending money hand over fist downtown. And really, you know?
It's council's fault, because what happens is we look at the bottom line and we say, well, we don't want taxes to go up 12% or 12 cents. So we find money from somewhere to do it. And the sewer operating fund, we took that money to offset the sewer operating fund to make ends meet, like Tom said.
That's what we were promised.
And but Rachel, you have to understand, the times changed. It's been 10 years.
10 years since it was dedicated.
So, you know, that changes over time, and it's council's fault, because according to the ordinance, we are supposed to be looking at that every three years. And Janine, do you have the figures of what we should, if we looked at it every 3 years and raised it according to what was originally scheduled, what we would be paying right now? It would be more than $52 a month.
The last time we raised it was 2006.
Six, right.
But we were supposed to raise it in 2 years, I believe.
We only raised it from 43 to 45.
Right.
And we've been raised one time since it's taken effect.
$2.
But we were told that it would be like $2 to $3 increment.
Right. And that was every 2 to 3 years.
3 years, and that fund would be there, and it would be the price then.
So you figure, 10 years, if it's every 3 years, it should have gone up $9. I'm just roughly doing the math.
You know what?
$6.
Terry, that's fine. I'm just... I'm really confused with the last meeting that we spoke with the town manager. Nobody, you know, we had this $300,000 deficit, right? Correct? Everybody here on the same page? Nobody knew. We didn't know where that money was, you know, where it went, how we got there. We were looking, you could tell us, well, you were able to use that money in different places. No one had a clue. And this gentleman has it on the table.
That's why we're here today.
But we need, guys, we need to look at this stuff. You know, you got everyone up there sitting in these tables, and you know, we got to get our heads out of our butts here. really. So we know what's going on. Everybody in this town, you see for sale signs. This is our big investment here. I like this town. And Terry, we're headed in the wrong direction. I should counsel it, okay? And I really, you know, I'll bring up that audit again, but boy, we need that forensic audit.
I think you hit it on the head. Your problem is with your debt. And the problem is, I went over the last 10 years, I think I came to before this, maybe a dozen meetings, and they were regarding with my garage. Every time I sat in these meetings, a lot of you were here. You were bonding $100,000 like you were giving out candy. One time I was here, $100,000 to bond for a redevelopment attorney and a plan for something that was drawn up the way that it went two other times that you already paid for the same plan, the same drawing, and the same attorney. And there was people that stood up and said, you're bonding $100,000 that after that is done, you have nothing to show for it except a piece of paper. And you went ahead and bonded. And that, over time. So, when you're raising $7, you're talking about raising $7 on your sewer tax, I hate to see what you're going to have to raise to pay off this debt to balance our budget. I think $7 is going to be a moot point here. Wait till you get your tax bill. I mean, you guys got some tough decisions to make.
Yeah.
I mean, $7, I think we're going to go off easy on $7. Wait until the taxes come.
Well, that's part of the problem, too. We see, you know, we haven't done a capital project besides, you know, the existing DPW garage. But, like, as far as streets, the last street we did was Belvedere, you know, phase one. So we had every intention of doing Grand Avenue, and we had the street survey was done, and it was updated by our current engineer. So, you know, there was a plan in place that we were going to do X amount of streets and sidewalks per year, you know, whatever, but... You know, unfortunately, we'd have no money. And again, to go back to your earlier point, because of past discrepancies, past, you know, bad management decisions, now we're at a point where, you know, we're not going to go forward with those types of things. We're not going to get ourselves further in debt until we can pay for them, so to speak. It would be easy for us to say, well, we're still going to do Grand Avenue, we're still going to do this, we're still going to do that, and just keep increasing the debt. But we made a conscious decision in the last 2 years not to do any of that. Unfortunately, in a sense, because the streets and sidewalks are in such bad shape. I mean, we all know that. To your point, in the past, lots of bad things have gone on, and lots of bad things. You know, checks, you know, the open checkbook mentality was rampant. No one disputes that. But I think in the past 2-3 years, I think we have made some changes. You could argue the redevelopment plan and you know, downtown streetscape, you could make arguments pro or con for those. But the reality is, you know, in these days, we are scrutinizing every line item. We're not doing capital projects. You know, we're not spending money that, like, even with the parking lot, for example. You know, that project is going forward and had gone forward and is completed, but that money's already been allocated to pay for it. Whereas in the past, that money would be spent somewhere else. And then we'd be 5 years from now when the property's transferred over, we'd be like, all right, now we have to come up with $400,000. How would we do that? So now we've already at least put that money in place and untouchable so that when it does come due, we're ready for it. So, you know, those are the types of prudent decisions I think we're making more so now than had ever been done in the past. Not making excuses for what happened in the past, but, you know, it's like managing your household. You know, times are tough. You start looking at, you know, what are we going to do to change this? What practices are we going to change to get better, more fiscally responsible? You know, maybe we don't go out to dinner 3 times a week. Maybe we go out 3 times a month. You know, those are the types of conscious decisions that you need to make as a family. So I think that's where we are now. And I'm not saying we're going to be perfect about it, but we are scrutinizing everything now, more so than probably in the past.
When I look at that garage, you know, I drove up there. There's a lot of work left to be done with that garage.
Eight to ten weeks worth of work to finish that garage. And again, this has been going on since 1997.
I know that, but you have a lot more. There's a lot of work still left to be done up there. And then, you know, it's like one bad decision after another.
You know, what's the status on the performance bond?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
We were told that we'd hear a status on the performance bond 2 meetings ago.
I wasn't at the last meeting. I apologize.
If we can, let's kind of stay to the sewer rate right now, and we'll address that for you in a little bit, okay?
I have a question for Tom.
Sure.
Actually, a couple questions.
So
this $300,000, for clarification, because we were told that it was taken to offset current fund, interfund transfers. So it wasn't. That's what you're saying. Okay, so it stayed
strict. To balance the
budget. The sewer budget.
To balance the sewer budget.
And now that $300,000, if it's raised $7 a month, that $300,000 is going to be zeroed out.
Because the 300 is gone. Hopefully, I can't do the math in my head, but hopefully seven, because the rate increase, because I didn't.
We're talking 269,000 total, and we're talking about what, 321,000 coming in by
minute.
Yeah. So you're gonna have.
It's gonna break out.
Yeah, 25,000 maybe left over.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hopefully that's
in a fund balance.
Goes into your.
So in 2011, we were told that was gonna be that 300,000 would be a surplus.
I don't know where that number came from. 300,000 really was just generated just by. In the capital section of the sewer, it had nothing really to do with operations at all. All that had to do with excess money from old bond ordinances that were done for sewer treatment plants. It was canceled and went into your fund balance in capital surplus. Capital. Remember, you got operating and capital.
Okay.
So the $300,000 was just a one-time fix. It was stick your finger in the dam to plug the hole to get you through that year.
So what happens if it instead of $7,000 it's raised $2?
You have to do the math.
You're gonna be short.
But we've been sure.
If you said that if it went up $7 at the end, there would be a $25,000 surplus.
It should be.
So why are we paying $7? Why can't we pay $5? Or why can't we pay $3?
It's a matter of if it was $51, we're short about $298,000. So if it was raised to $51, at the end of the year, based on the number of EDUs, it would be $275,220. We'd still be short if you raised it to $51. But if you raised it to $52, you're going to be a little bit over. It's because of the way the numbers fall. It's not.
I thought it was $269,000. That's what we were told we were in debt.
But, yes, but you have to make up from last year's. You're short from last year. You have to carry over. You're short from last year.
You have to raise another operating deficit this year, $26,000.
Plus the $269,000, which is almost $300,000.
You try to generate a little bit of an extra.
And I understand what you're saying.
You don't have to keep going and doing
it. Council. She's saying $26,000 surplus. Now I'm hearing we'll probably have a deficit.
No, that's to cover the deficit. But yeah, if you try and generate some money so that you don't have to keep going back to the well, which is the taxpayers, or in this case, the sewer users, so that every year you don't have to keep doing this, you try and generate, and you try and come up with some kind of a plan so that every year you don't have to do it. Their plan is to do it every 3 years.
Okay, now, I have a quick question. Now, on this here, with your surplus that you're going to do with the $7, okay, what's it going to give us the next year?
A surplus?
I mean, rough.
It would only be minus $80,000
to place.
It would be a small.
No, it would only
surplus.
Be about, if you raise it to $52, again, we need approximately $300,000.
Let's just say we raise it to $7, we get a clean
which
plate.
Is $52, okay, clean plate. You're going to, it would be about, you'd have, that would be 321, you'd have left over about $23,000, which would go into the fund balance.
The following year.
For 2011.
Right.
2011. Why?
That's thinking that the operating costs are going to remain the same.
So what we're doing is we're paying back almost $300,000. We should have almost the same amount.
No, we're breaking even. Because
it's going to break us even.
Our expenditures are up here, and our revenues are here. That's not changing.
That'll change.
No, I understand it to get it, but please...
The $7 gets us to...
Get us even.
Gets us even. So next year, we're still going to be even with a little bit of flux.
Think of that money as like an inheritance, okay? All of a sudden, don't we come up with $300,000 to pay your mortgage?
I don't have a problem with evening it out. My problem is using this money somewhere else. I'm paying on that sewer utility for this, in which you can take it and you can use it in different areas.
No.
That's...
No.
I thought you could use that in different areas.
In sewer, right? You said yes, we could sewer capital, but sewer operating.
We were misled. We were told...
Well, those are two different funds.
That we could take that, and you said you could use that in other areas. Well,
correct.
If you're sewer, you can't use it. You can use it like a borrow. You can borrow, but you've got to repay it.
That's what they did. They borrowed.
They're borrowing.
I think when it first came up in the first meeting... You said that this was a surplus that we used, and you were just going to raise it to replenish the surplus.
Right.
For
2010.
Now, budget deficit,
no, what I said was we need to fill in this $300,000 deficit for 2010. That's what this
okay.
is.
I thought this was just a replenishment of the surplus.
No.
I thought so, too.
No, this is to break even at zero for 2010.
Now, I understand now after...
We're the accountants. Rich is the manager. That's why he asked us to come here and try and explain it. Sometimes, you know, that's why we're the professionals. And, you know, Rich runs the show. He has other things that we don't know about. That's why we're here today, to help explain maybe some misconceptions that maybe Rich gave you. But it was true. He basically was on the same page as us. Maybe he didn't explain it
when you first heard about it, you said, then why do we got to replace that 300 all at once? You said, why can't we do a couple?
Right.
I thought it was we were replacing the surplus.
We did, and like I said, that's why I went back and I spoke with Stephanie Lewis, and it's totally...
That's what
we're
getting
at.
Right. I've been coming in here and explaining this, and not only explain it to the audience, but you explained it to the council. Because we've been getting different answers and different responses and misleading and back and forth. They don't get it, okay? And they're representing us. And if they don't get it, we're in trouble. So being here is very helpful to all of us. Because I hear, and I'm watching faces looking at explanations, this is the first time I heard it.
Well, when they first appointed me, they know that I'm here whenever they want me to explain any problem. That is my major one concern, is to make sure that we get through what we have and explain. That's my job. And that's why they hired me, and that's why the previous guys are gone. So I'm here. They know it. I'm available whenever.
What seems to be real important, and again, if we're on the same page, going in the same direction, okay, because I'm watching people bailing in this town left and right. Okay, I have four listings that could have been sold that when the taxes were calculated out, they couldn't qualify for the loan. So what are those people going to do? Three of them are going into foreclosure. We got a big problem coming. You think this is a problem. We got a big problem coming if we keep putting the burden on. And we all have to understand it. Not that all of a sudden, oh, no, I got the answer. None of them mesh. This don't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So, and the reason we were talking about the forensic audit, okay, and this fits into the sewer as well as everything else, is because nobody got it. And we wanted to know where monies were going, and nobody could give us an answer. And when we did get answers, they were all different. So if you're not getting it, don't pretend you're getting it. Let's sit down and say, okay, we got to get this guy back in here and explain it. Well, we need a full forensic audit, line by line, for the past 5 years to find out what happened. If you go to the doctor and you're bleeding internally, okay, and the guy says you need an MRI to find out where the problem is. No, but I heard if you eat steak and a lot of leafy vegetables, you can produce enough red blood cells to keep your blood going for a while. What are you going to opt for? The steak and the leafy vegetables, you're going to go for the MRI to find out where the problem is. If you don't get the problem, and obviously get some of it piece by piece, but not all of it, find out where the issues are so you don't repeat the same mistake. Find out where the bleeding's going, because you can't keep treating it with raising stuff. I know you got a difficult job. I wouldn't want it. And we got a difficult job, too. But in 2 or 3 years, if this keeps going like this, you're going to have not only the vacant stores downtown, you're going to have your vacant homes in town where people have walked from them, and you're going to be in real trouble.
Well, yeah, I think what you're saying is true, but it's like a perfect storm of a whole bunch of bad things at the same time. You have previous managers, you have had manager turnover, you had no CFO, you had a part-time CFO, that you had an auditor that was gotten rid of, you had an engineer that was gotten rid of. So you have Trenton, and you have the United States in essentially a recession, right? So you have Trenton, which is in all kinds of financial trouble. So add all those things together, the housing bubble collapses, all of that stuff. It's kind of like a perfect storm of bad things. So what we're doing here and what we've been doing is correcting those mistakes.
Totally agreed. And your analogy about going ahead and focusing on not spending money we don't have is absolutely right on target. It's the only way you're going to survive. But you also have to find out where the problems exist, where the bleeding's going on, so that you're all on the same page and we all know what's going on. You've got a full study and a full audit. Every time this audit comes up, I see people getting upset. And the people that are here the longest are getting upset. And I don't know why, because you should be able to provide the most insight to our auditors so that you can guide them through and say, hey, maybe this area, and maybe this area. Save us some money that way. And if you can't, you should.
The reality is, if you have 25% of your budget is allocated in debt service payments, then I don't care what you're doing right as far as efficiencies and whatever, you're going to be behind the eight ball every time. If you took away that 25%, we'd be a model municipality for all of New Jersey.
I agree with you.
That's the unfortunate truth.
Well, you know what? We all discovered that tonight, but that's a big part of the problem. Great. So now you know we're part of that problem. Where's the rest? I still don't think we have all the answers and we know what's going on and we're all on the same page. And everybody's scrambling to cover. You know, not that there's anything wrong, it's just you don't know. And instead of saying, you know what, we've got to get this cleared up so we can stop some of these problems, you just stand.
And Bob, and I agree with you, and that's why we have the manager we have that I think is doing a good job, and we have Tom and Natasha who I think are doing an excellent job, and I want to thank both of them for being here tonight because they shed a lot of light on this.
And Terry, I agree with you, but if I hired a manager to run my office because I had some financial problems, right, and I didn't give him the tools to solve the problem, I'd be at fault.
There's the two tools right there.
There's two of the tools, but that's not the only answer, okay?
We're working on the rest.
Terry, we've been told this in the two previous town managers, okay? So as taxpayers and citizens here, we're a little concerned. You told us the same thing two managers ago.
Mm-hmm. And that's why that manager's not here anymore.
And the next one. So, you know, we don't have a lot of faith anymore, Terry.
And not only that, Terry, you're running the head of the garage. You're ahead of that committee. We went back into the notes and couldn't find any reports for the last 7 months, maybe a year and a half. What's going on? We don't know. And I'm not pointing to just you. Just saying there are things that are happening that we really need to know. And I don't think you have all the answers. And when we don't have the answers, what happens is, instead of saying, you know what, I don't know, we've got to dig deeper on this. This may be a problem. And that's why the audit is so important, okay? Because it will provide the answers. It just lays to light everything that happens. Okay, there's some things you won't repeat because the people are different, the personnels are different. But there are some things you need to learn about to find out where the bleeding is. You know part of it is your big debt service. Well, that's good. What about the rest? This is just the sewer we're talking about. My goodness, this is just scratching the surface.
Do we have any other comments for the sewer?
Just to reiterate,
if this $7 doesn't get passed, this $7 increase doesn't get passed, the state is going to say, you can't do what you're doing.
Well, you have to cut something out of the budget, and then you would probably run into another deficit, which you would have to raise in next year's budget, and it would just get worse and worse.
Okay. So, but have we looked at anything in the sewer budget that we could reduce this year, reducing the cost that we would need to increase this year that we might be able to put off for next year?
Dave, there's very, very little, if any, operating expenses in the sewer. It's all contractual obligations for Veolia. It's contractual obligations for Veolia, which include utility costs, etc., and debt service.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an active borough employee staff department. There's no, we write a check to Veolia. They do everything, and then there's debt.
Do you know what the repercussions are, though, other than the debt snowballing, say, if you did not increase it? Is there any, like, thing that the state could come back and say that you're not self-liquidating?
Yes.
So as a result... Well, no, I'm saying, what's to stop us from just, keep going on with the debt? Granted, then 2018, we'd never be down to $100,000, but is there anything?
Well, you run out of cash. I mean, as soon as you run into a deficit situation, you're going to run out of cash, and then you can't pay your bills, and then you start losing vendors, and then you've got to incur more.
Would our bonds become at risk because we weren't paying?
Well, you get a bad bond rating.
Well, 3%, we're pretty much maxed out, right?
3.5, you're
yeah.
And we're at 3.
That's the debt ratio that you're referring to.
Right. Yep. Richard, are we still online to do the billing in-house for the sewer?
Yep, I spoke with the tax collector today. They're meeting with another town to talk about the implementation and any headaches they might have had. We had communications as recently as today with Edmonds. Apparently, they decided to start doing the work before they actually got the approval from us, which I found very interesting, but we haven't officially cut the PO, and they've started to do the work. Which to me is not my problem. If we decide not to go forward, thanks for doing the work. But they weren't authorized by us to move forward yet. We're still getting everything in order to bring it in-house this year.
And you calculated out the savings for that first year was $50,000?
I'd have to look at my notes. It's $5,000 a month that we charge with billing right now. So if we start mid-year, that's, $30,000 theoretically.
Okay.
That you'd say.
Thank you.
And then we would use that savings to offset the payment of the cost to bring it in house, so we didn't have to borrow any money for it.
Right.
That kind of thing. So year one, you might reap very little. Year two, you won't have to pay out.
Anything else? I guess the next discussion is the numbers to put into this resolution.
I just say something before you do that. On Wednesday, February 24th, in the Eastern Express, there was an article pertaining to the Greenwich Township with their sewer increase, and it's about the seniors.
I have it. I was going to make a proposal after we got through this.
Okay. Thank you.
To consider it anyway.
Thank you. Well, the seniors are going to make, some way or another, the seniors. Years ago, when it first came up, Terry can tell you, there were certain seniors in this town. Well, I wasn't a senior then, but I am now, and I am a widow now, living alone. And the people that were here back then when we first considered it, Terry, and all, they sat in that front row and all, and they were resilient again. And you know that they had to pay the same as everybody else and all. And now I'm in their shoes.
And I know how she felt back then. And that's what I'm going to make. Okay,
Council, what is your pleasure? Well, I can't in good conscience, if we haven't looked at what, if we could cut anything, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about cost savings.
Well, I asked Rich that a few meetings ago, and he said there was, in an email message, and he said there was nothing else we could cut, that they were not, these were not, like, recommended numbers. I have the email message where you said these were the final numbers in the sewer budget. I already addressed that, like, a month ago.
I just asked the question, did we even look at that?
No, again, the question to the answer
remember,
was,
the worst
there was
case
nothing
scenario
there
numbers,
to cut.
And he said, and he said there's nothing we could cut.
That's not like a normal department operating budget in the sense, $X thousand for office supplies, $X thousand, for whatever. This is contractual payments to Veolia and debt. That's 99.9% of that budget.
Wait a second. Now it's either operating or it's contractual.
Well, the operating contractual costs for Veolia and the debt service. The sewer budget isn't like a normal...
You have the small operating salary and wages for the part-time person that collects it, and then the operating expenses, and then debt. And I asked if the requested numbers were worst-case scenario numbers or final numbers, and he said these were you know, final numbers. There's nothing that can be lowered. I asked that a couple of months ago.
Sewer operating salary and wages? Is that
they offset part of?
Is it the 1.2?
No, that's the sewer operating expenses. That's the only.
The question I have is if you want to propose a different rate for the seniors, how is that going to affect the rate that we're looking at?
Well, that's why it would have to be separate. I mean, I have that article too, and it's a great idea that Greenwich was able to offer. It is a 10% discount to people 65 and older,
right,
on their sewer rate. But I have no idea what their situation is, how much they have in their fund balance. So, I mean, I would...
So then how much would we have to increase the rate that we are going to charge everybody else?
Right. We have to
equalize the gap.
If we gave every senior a 10% discount, it's just mathematically...
I'm not saying we could do it.
Right,
I said I would...
We could look at it.
We could look... You know, I said I was going to propose that we look at it, but I said who knows if we can actually... do it even this year. It might be 2 years from now that you could do it.
Their numbers are there.
Yeah, but we're talking about our numbers.
They might have money in their fund balance.
Debt.
They might have surplus. So
they may not have debt.
We do not. We're running at a deficit, so it's not something we could do right now. So let me clarify that if I was misleading. I said I was going to look into it after we got through this. Because
right.
It's a separate motion. It would be a separate motion. We're still under this motion.
Right. Still into plugging in the numbers here.
Waiting for the numbers to be plugged in. You need that from council, correct?
That's correct.
So we know the number that we need to charge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
at $52 a month, it would be at $664 a year, and at the monthly rate of $52 per EDU. That's what it would come out to.
Okay. Okay, that's the number we're going to plug in. Hearing no objections.
What was the number?
$52 per EDU for a total of $664 per year.
Should the correction, Mayor, $624, I believe, is the report I'm looking at. An annual increase.
But could it be written in the resolution that it remains flat for X amount of time?
624.
The EDU rate would never get changed until this body approves it. You mean saying it'll remain at this rate for X number of years?
Right.
The downside
so that
is
we
if
don't
something
increase
happens,
it next
what,
year.
What happens if something happens next year? Or something happens 2 years from now? I mean, the bottom line is this never gets changed unless seven people here agree to it. Four people agree to it.
Five.
Out of seven.
Seven.
This isn't an ordinance. This is a resolution. This is only four. So, but the bottom line, Janine, is the way our current ordinance is written is the only way that the EDU rates can be revised is if council passes a resolution adopting the changes.
Okay, and the last piece here is when this will take effect.
The next, just so you're aware, the bills go out mid-month each month. So you can pick which billing cycle you wish.
June 1st?
Is that, well, what? June 1st is going to give us our 300.
Yeah, I mean, what do we need to do?
Well,
to
and just so you know, we're ready in March.
Right, but what do we need? What do we need to do to hit the 300,000, whatever we need to make up? I mean, is it March?
Next billing cycle.
Okay, so that's March.
The March billing
that's
cycle.
That's what you need to say. That's what we need to say. Because if we push it out, we're going to be in a hole again. So that doesn't make any sense.
So then if any bills generated after February?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, otherwise, what are we talking about? We're still going to be in a hole.
Okay, do we have any other discussion on this?
Was it seconded? Was there a new set?
It was moved and seconded for the blank ordinance. And we plug the numbers and the date in.
Okay, let's...
Well, you need a motion.
Yeah.
For the number.
For the number.
Somebody's got to make the motion of 7, and if that's what the wish is.
I'll move those numbers of 624 per year.
Second.
$52 per EDU, and after, any bills generated after February 2010.
Second. Have a roll call, please.
Calvo.
Yes.
Valentine.
Yes.
Reba.
Yes.
Fioni.
Yes.
Boyle.
Nope.
McDonald.
Yes.
Higgins.
No.
Mr. Mayor, could I ask the manager to meet with Tom and Natasha and I believe Stephanie or Andrew? And we had talked about this and try to work out a 10-year plan and maybe have that to us for...
I wanted to wait to see what action council would take tonight. Now I can reach out to our wastewater engineer and Stephanie Lewis to come out with, in essence, a 10-year EDU projection, the way they did it in 2000.
This way future councils won't be able to... This way future councils won't be able to forget what's, you know, what's required in the ordinance.
Sure. Okay.
Can you also include the finance committee in that meeting?
Sure. That.
Will there be a charge of that? Is that
Well, Andrew is in his normal scope of services. For Stephanie, I'll get a scope of services price to find out what that is before we move forward. I can present that price to the sewer committee before I go forward.
Would you like to take a 10-minute recess before we come back?
Yeah, we're almost done.
Okay, and resolution 59-2010. And 60 and 61, I think we could do all together.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on any of those resolutions?
Did you say 61?
Yes.
I do.
Certainly.
On resolution 61, please. I just had a question about the audit services. What are we looking at? You have it listed from transfer from these?
Sure, huh?
Okay.
Let me get it here. Okay, I'm sorry, say that one more time, please.
Resolution 61, we're transferring from this group
yes.
to this group where it says audit services, other mm-hmm. expenses. What are you looking
sure.
at?
Sure. Yeah, in the past, in 2008, when the prior auditor was awarded a contract, I don't recall what that dollar amount was, he did the work in 2009. All right, as part of the 2009 budget, we had the... In 2008, the money was never encumbered for the 2008 audit. So in 2009, I had to come up with funds to pay the previous auditor as well as the current
auditor. Okay, so this audit service is for 2009 audit?
This is paying the balance from our 2008 audit as well. Remember, if you recall, last year, Subacuni agreed to pay half? All right, this is the remaining half of that, as well as to account for the 2009.
Okay, thank you.
That's all explained in the letter we have from our CFO.
Yeah, I did read it.
Basically what it is charging the audit to the correct year.
Yeah.
So it's adjusting. Mm-hmm. So that the 2009 audit is charged to the 2009 budget.
Our 2010 audit has already been encumbered out of 2010 funds properly.
In the CFO letter, it says to the two auditing firms.
Correct.
That Tom's and these guys?
I can't see which ones. Yes.
Yeah.
The balance of Supply and Tom's for when he does his work. Right, he's actually in the process of the audit work now.
Okay, any other discussion? A roll call, please.
Alba?
Yes.
Yes.
Flavor?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, we have 65 and 66, which are for redemptions of a tax sales certificate.
I'll move 65 and 66, 2010.
I'll second it.
Okay, is there any discussion on these? Roll call, please.
Leone?
Yes.
Howard?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Megan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Levy?
Yes.
Okay, and that takes us to 67, 2010, an approval of a shade tree grant, which was not have any borough match to it, for a grant of $7,000.
I'll move 67, 2010.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this one?
Scott, I just have one question on it. This is a $7,000 grant for work to be done in the borough park.
I believe it's in the downtown.
I thought it said borough park.
It did say borough park.
And it would be tree services in the borough park.
Okay,
so
that's a different.
Washington Borough Park tree maintenance.
Right here. Yes, it is. Okay.
So
there's a different document I was confusing.
As a follow-up to this, could we get a sort of a memo from the Shade Tree Commission as to how they're planning on spending those funds and what they're planning on doing in the park?
Yep. Sure.
Because I noticed some of the trees in the park are, you know, have a lot of dead limbs, and I'm assuming they're going to be doing that stump removal, but I'd just like a little bit more information.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, if you could give the application to the grant committee also.
How about the trees out on
the main street? This I'd have to check to see what the terms of the grant were.
Yeah, this says for the borough park, maintenance of trees in the borough park.
If you're not going to maintain them, don't plant them. There's trees on Clinton Avenue that are falling.
That will be taken up separately under the normal shade tree commission.
Well, I called the meet three times with this one tree was split apart from the root to the top. The trees fall every week. Limbs fall off, and it's been called in three different times.
If you would look into that, board.
Yeah. Do you know in front of what address this is?
It's 261 Clinton Avenue.
Okay.
Did you call Debbie about that?
Well, it would have been
not
Sue.
My resident. I called once.
No. I'll tell you. I know this year they went out and they did about $12,000 worth of tree trimming.
Well, the lot wouldn't be done.
Let me check. 261 Carl.
Any other discussion on this resolution?
Maintain it.
We have a roll call, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Valentine.
Yes.
Hagan.
Yes.
Boyle.
Yes.
Leva.
Yes.
Howell.
Yes.
McDonald.
Yes. Okay, we have our vouchers.
I move we pay our vouchers.
I'll second.
Okay, we have three different sheets here. I assume the motion is for all three.
Yes.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of these vouchers? Hearing none, a roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Leone?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Okay, now we have our recap. What do we have on your list, Mr. Carolyn?
Well, now, what about the resolutions 59 and 60? Did I miss that?
Yep.
Yeah, we did that.
This is
the
exact.
Councilman Higgins asked the Van Cleef money and DOT money, what meeting? I'll get the meeting date, which I was discussed. And then aside from the start for the new EDUs, that's it.
Council remarks. Councilman Housel.
Manager stated to a resident he was going to give an update on the garage.
Oh, yes.
The resident isn't here. I gave him my card, but I'd be happy to update everyone who's still here. That's fine.
Just want to give a quick for what we have.
Certainly. Excuse me. If everyone recalls it, November 6, 2009, the current contractor, Consolidated Building Corp., was found in default of the project. After many months of paper trail, if you will, we finally threw them off the job. The bonding agency, about a week after that, requested hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents and plans. We sent them all of this documentation for them to review. The point of the review is to do two things. One, bring them up to speed on where we are in the project, and two, make sure that we acted properly, that we did not arbitrarily throw them off the job. 2 months after they received the documents, we received notification that they agreed that our actions were permissible. We're at the point now where there seems to be some discrepancy from what the bonding company thinks their obligation is versus what we think their obligation is. We're working that out with them now. We have been notified by them that they do have a contractor ready to go. We're ironing out a few of these details. They seem to be a little more irate, if you will, than I would like. But they have spent money on their own already. They hired their engineer to review all the documents and go on site and come up with a timeline. We're going to be reaching out to them, restating our case, asking them for a timeline, asking them for the name of their contractor, because we have to approve it per their bond. And I'm going to invite the bonding company and the bonding company's attorney out to iron out any other items that we have so we can get this going forward. It's very important for us to get it done before the winter, for obvious reasons. As soon as winter comes, construction stops. This was discussed with the DPW garage committee last-minute meeting we had today on this, and I know we spoke about it earlier. But that's where we stand as of now, and I'll be reaching out in the next few days. Myself, the borough engineer, the borough attorney will be compiling a letter to send out to them certified.
And because of work responsibilities, I spoke to Rich before the meeting with the garage committee. So we've discussed it.
Anything else, Councilman?
That's it.
Councilman Cioni?
Rich, could you see if, I know there's a lot of potholes because of the snowstorms mm-hmm. and the you know, the freeze-thaw cycles. Can you find out if John has a plan for, like, you know, some sort of, like, tackling all of these potholes rather than case-by-case basis?
I can actually answer that. As he's been going through, he's been keeping a log. If there's one that's in severe disrepair, he does it now, knowing full well that the winter's going to destroy it, but at least it's not a safety issue. He actually has been keeping a log as we go.
Well, a log, I mean, is he patching? I mean,
No, he's not patching them. He's leaving the minor ones till the spring because you don't want to keep dumping the patch on it that just gets destroyed in the winter. Major ones he does now. But he is getting the list together, so as soon as the spring comes, he can encumber some money and purchase the patch.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilman?
In thinking through some of the problems that we have with the potholes, and some of them are along the side of the street in the curb
line. Like the gutter
area? We have the paver. Mm-hmm. With the paver that we have, we can actually bring the size of the pavement that we lay down and pave that entire area, so we're not doing just a pothole fix. We're actually overlaying that entire curb area, which is it's beneficial because it makes it more conformed. And also a load of coal patch is about $165.
I have to check. I don't know what the current rates are.
Something like that. And then a load of hot tar is about $68 to $75. I forget exactly what the figure is.
John, the borough engineer, and I, DPW supervisor, borough engineer, and I came up with a list of roads for just that. Obviously, we weren't expecting such a harsh winter as we got this year. So as we continue on the budget process for 2010, we'll have a better idea of how much we can dedicate to that. But we did speak to that effect as well.
I think we'll be better to overlay in the spring, and then hopefully next year we won't have the problems.
Can hope.
Anything else, Councilman Cioni?
No, thank you.
Councilman Valentine?
Not really, again, but I just do want to thank the professionals for being here tonight. Their help was great. I mean, it really cleared things up. I think you also satisfied a lot of the residents. It was great.
Councilwoman Gleba?
I'd like to, again, going forward, look into the senior rate. Maybe we can, maybe based on income, or if we could.
If you want, you can give me a call and we can discuss the options. It would require an amendment to the existing ordinance because there is an existing ordinance that sets this in place.
Okay.
So we would, I mean, not that that's a big deal, but timeline-wise. But if you want, you can give me a call and we can sit down and go over the numbers.
Okay. And then also, and I mentioned this to you earlier, I'd like a list of our debt, you know, broken down by department and items and the schedule going forward, just so.
You said that's going to be already given to us by the CFO.
Well, I just want to make sure I clear. So you're saying debt broken down by ordinance? Like what the money was spent on?
Right.
Okay. I can run the reports. on that. That's fine.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, congratulations to Rich for becoming a father.
Thank you.
And thank you to the professionals, too.
Councilman Higgins?
It was right over the tip of my tongue. Good, good of me.
Okay, yeah, Councilman Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor.
Smack Councilman Higgins back ahead, see if he can
A resident brought up street parking tonight, and we talked about it maybe 2 weeks ago. It's almost an epidemic. You know, like I mentioned, after a snowstorm, you see the cars and the vans, and I hope the Washington Township PD would really go forward with the chief had said. You know, and you must get a different report than we do, because I've been asking about, like, conversations with you. You know, we get a number, like it was 14.
That's the same one I get.
That's the same one you get?
That's the same one I get.
It doesn't tell us anything. I mean,
and that's what I said, once you figure out, once we know exactly what you want, I'll say, look, from now on, give me this.
That one parking overnight or what have you, with, against the ordinance, that's got to pick up.
That's revenue for the borough. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need money. And when you have, I asked this, and I don't know, Pat, if you remember, 57, I inquired about 57. Yes, it's a state highway, but it's within our borough. No parking on our streets. Well, Washington Borough is littered with cars overnight parking. Are they allowed to park on 57 all night long? Or are they not?
Does parking come to...
Why are they not being issued parking tickets at
request?
$40, $50 a pop? A number one will stop. There were so many streets this winter.
We got a lot of calls the past couple of storms.
It could be cloud properly, and no still remains today. Mm-hmm. But why is no one enforcing? Why do you have ordinance?
Now, I know when the snow comes down, in order to have the vehicles removed, the officer, Office of Emergency Management, our OEM coordinator, can declare the emergency, in which in turn he's contacted the township saying, hey, we need cars moved. Now, what makes it very difficult is there's a lot of cars, there's a lot of people, you know, what did the chief say earlier, 25 square miles now they maintain? Now, I'm not making excuses for him, believe me. I'm just letting you know, this is right. And when I reached out to Frank, who, by the way, will be here in an upcoming meeting to do his quarterly report, he says he was given a lot of flack from the township at the time. Now, I don't know who was on duty, I don't know who he spoke with, I just got a message.
But there's not even when it snows overnight, like this last storm, those cars shouldn't have been parked anyway.
Agreed.
An emergency was
rescue clear. And I'm just, unfortunately, last 2 weeks were a little crazy for me, so I'm playing catch up myself, and I'm not making an excuse. Understood. And then I did speak with the office that night, and apparently he was having some trouble with the township police department. But it's been on my list, and township chief police showed up today. Unexpected. Otherwise, I would have had answers for you prior. Oh, I agree. We get a lot of phone calls about parking complaints. Some of them are legitimate. Others are just, you know, neighbor, I don't want you parking in front of my house kind of thing. So.
Sure. You and I had a conversation about this, and you said that it's only a certain period of time they're allowed to call in dispatch. That they're allowed to park overnight.
Correct.
In a non-parking street. You need to call the dispatch department, because according to them, somebody can call in every night of the week, same car, all your...
They're allowed 2 weeks. Our ordinance says 2 weeks.
Right,
all right, that's fine.
That,
do you happen to know who you spoke with there by chance? Although this way I can speak with the same, otherwise.
No, okay.
That's fine.
That when they call about a car, the dispatch says, how do you know they're not on our list?
No problem.
Well, the same car can call there for 3 months.
They're permitted 2 weeks for, you know, obviously if they're redoing a driveway, things like that. But I will call the chief of communications tomorrow directly and let them know.
It's probably people.
Yes. Thank you.
It's probably people that are trying to avoid the cost of using the
parking lot.
Parking the permit.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Right, don't buy the ticket. Just call. Oh, I need to park on the street. Or no, I'll call dispatch and remind them of our ordinance. I'll remind the township as well. That's fine. Thank you.
Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I contacted the Department of Criminal Justice in reference to our forensic audit.
Okay.
They don't do municipalities, although they do police departments for future reference. I was directed back to our friend, Mark Pfeiffer, who I have not been able to get a hold of yet.
Remember him, Matt?
Yes. Thanks. I saw him down at the League Legislative Day that led to it not too long ago.
I was directed back to them, and they thought that maybe the Department of Community Affairs would do it. And in that vein, have we gone out for proposals?
No, we have not.
I understand. I've got your email, and you're talking about the cost of $100,000 up to $300,000.
Sure. Obviously, the first step to do is, since I've never had to involve myself with a forensic accounting, is find out what it is, what it entails, what I need to budget for. I reached out to a forensic accountant. I went on a national forensic accounting website. I traced one in New Jersey. I spoke with him. I gave him some information. I relayed counsel's request. 5-year line-by-line item. Now go back 5 years, check every line for irregularities. His exact words to me were, they'll go, they can do that. They can do whatever you want. They can go back. They'll identify anything criminal, violation of state statutes relating to local purchasing and finance aren't criminal, so it wouldn't be dedicated as criminal. Obviously, the only thing that would be dedicated as criminal is if someone physically stole money. He says, if we go in there, based on your budget, I gave him a whole bunch of information, that best case scenario, he goes in to review line by line every single transaction. It's $20 a year per year review.
$20,000.
What did I say?
$20.
Oh, sorry. $20,000 a year per year review. Yeah, exactly. That equates to, if they have 5 great years, $100,000. And again, that's only for criminal actions. He says that can increase upwards of $500,000 depending on what they find. The timeline could be anywhere from 6 months to 2 years. If this is something council wants to do, I need to raise a substantial amount of money in this year's budget to pay for it.
6 months to 2 years for the whole 5 years?
6 months, best case scenario, they look at everything and there's no criminal activity. It could be up to 2 years if they find criminal activity that they have to, you know, you find one thing, it opens up something else and so on and so on. He said a max of 2 years, it can cost a max of $500,000.
And where do we get the money for that?
We'd have to raise it in the budget. And the reason I didn't go out for RFPs is I don't want to go out. First, I had to learn what a forensic audit was, because I need to solicit proposals to make sure we get what we're looking for. I reached out to this guy. He said he'll be happy to come in here and speak if anyone has any questions. If you want to go out for proposals, we can go out for proposals, but we clearly can't award a contract until we have money. We can't award that until our budget adopts.
As of right now, what's our budget increase looking at right now?
We're still working on the annual financial statement, annual debt. I mean,
28 cents?
I'd say between 25 and 30 based on decisions made by council this year.
So if we go out for a forensic audit, we have to raise the $100,000.
At least 2.5 cents
so
more.
2.5 to 3 cents more on top of that.
Yeah. And you could raise all that and find out that all we did was interfunds. I can tell you that for nothing.
Anything else, Councilman? Okay. The only thing I have is I've been in contact with Sustainable Jersey as far as they're coming up here and making a presentation. I've invited them to come up to our next meeting so that everybody can get a good idea of what Sustainable Jersey does. What they offer are grants, low-interest loans to municipalities, to businesses, and to residents to help for energy efficiency in your homes. You have a question, Councilman?
Yeah, for the auditor before he gets out of here.
Oh, okay. That's all I had. I thought you had a question.
We're applying for extraordinary aid again this year?
If they have it.
If the applications go out, we're going to apply, but I don't think they're coming out, and if they are, I don't think anyone's getting any money.
When I met with Assemblyman Eric Peterson, he said 0% chance of there being any extraordinary aid this year.
Can I just ask the auditor something?
Sure.
If money was... And I know very little about financial stuff, but usually the way money is siphoned off of a municipality is dummy corporations or dummy invoices are presented. A forensic audit is not going to identify those dummy invoices, correct?
Well,
if an invoice is presented...
That's available. That kind of thing should have been picked up normally by the fire auditors, because that's what we do. Mismanagement of money is, you know, that they don't look at that. We just basically look at, was there an invoice? Was it properly accounted for? Did it go through the cycle? Were there proper signatures? And then we also look at the internal control, whether or not someone is in a situation that can cause that. In other words, does one person have too much control?
Separation of duties.
Could steal money, segregation of duties. We also look at that also, and compliance, make sure that they're complying with your rules and the state rules. That's what I, as an auditor, I do. Forensic accounting is, you know, money was stolen, how much was stolen. That's what they normally do. If there was a fire and the records were destroyed, come up with, you know, the insurance company hired these guys, and how much was their profit and loss, and how much money, you know, how much do we have to pay for these guys for insurance and that kind of thing.
If I may, Terry, just to dovetail kind of off of that, I don't know if council recalls, while the comptroller's office doesn't do the same level of a forensic accounting audit, they did indicate that there was no criminal activity in their report last year.
And that was for the two things that they audited?
Well, they audited more than two. Oh. I mean, they audited a whole bunch of records. The big ticket items were the ones that they made issue with, but they did say there was no criminal actions.
Anything else? Except the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?